to be a part of it, you're missing out. This year, I'm in the skit, and I get to play the part of Preacher Sheriff Bill Hilly. And I was thinking about coming up here in my cowboy hat and costume and preaching in character, but I think that would have been a little distracting. But I think the best thing that we added this year was the pie in the face contest every day. I think the kids have really enjoyed that, but it's been a blast, and it's been encouraging to see our class grow each day. We started out with 4 on Monday, and then we had 7, and today we had 10. And I know other classes are growing as well, and it's just amazing to see how God is working. Well, tonight we're going to look at 3 different lessons of faith from the life of King Asa. And I hope that, and I trust that our faith will be encouraged as we look into God's Word in 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14 through 16 tells us the life of King Asa. And he was one of the early kings of Judah. His father, Abijah, was another good king who actually fought a major battle against the northern kingdom of Israel, and it was really a decisive victory that really helped establish the kingdom of Judah. So he came from a godly home, and his father was godly, and also his son Jehoshaphat was godly. And so Asa was one of the godly kings of Israel, of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. And we have many good examples in the Bible of how he lived a life of faith. And so if you start here in chapter 14, it says, starting in verse number 2, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him." And so he obeyed the Lord, and he took away the idols and the different things that displeased the Lord, and he led the kingdom of Judah towards God to follow the Lord. And he raises an army of 580,000 men to defend his kingdom. And the first trial of his faith came when the army of the Ethiopians marched against him with 1 million different soldiers and 300 chariots. And it's starting in verse number 8. It says, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Merasha." And so here, right off the bat, Asa, as a young king, is faced with this challenge, this huge army marching towards his kingdom, ready to destroy him. And they're outnumbered 1 million to almost 600,000. And just to kind of put that in perspective, imagine back in your junior high days playing a game of dodgeball at PE, and you only have 6 people on your team, and you're going against a team of 10. And you'd be outnumbered, and you'd probably get out right away, and you'd lose. And Asa is in that same similar position. He's outnumbered. He is new. He's, you know, just barely started being king. But Asa had faith, and he decided that he was going to turn to the Lord with this difficulty. And he declares his faith in verse number 10. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So we have this great declaration of faith in God. Asa wasn't relying on his own army. He wasn't going to try to maybe send a treaty and try to make a truce with this king or try to call in help from another country. He decided that he was going to rest in the Lord. and that the Lord would be the way out of this situation. And in verse 12, we see that the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. The Ethiopians fled, and it ends up where they chase the Ethiopians, and they get all this loot, all this treasure from them, and it's a great victory. And it all started because Asa believed that nothing was too hard for the Lord. And we hear that phrase a lot, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. But do we really take time to think about the fact that nothing is too hard for God to do? Whenever you have a problem in your life, whenever there's a situation in your life, or even an unanswered prayer, that prayer isn't answered because the prayer is not answered because God can't do it. God can do whatever he wants. God is completely sovereign. He's completely powerful. There is nothing that is too hard for God to do. And Asa knew that. I think of the story of Gideon in the Bible, how he was outnumbered and he had a small army and he was up against the Midianites and he had no military training. They didn't have any weapons. And he was called to fight against this large army that was just pillaging the country of Israel. And God calls him to lead an army against this group of Midianites. And the first thing that God does is shrink his army. And he shrinks his army down to 300 men against these hundreds of thousands of Midianites. And you can imagine being one of those soldiers. And, you know, you're in line to receive your weapons, and you probably are thinking, okay, I'm going to probably get a sword and a shield. And they hand you a torch and a clay pot and a trumpet. And you probably think, okay, what am I supposed to do with all these? Am I supposed to just hit them over the head with a pot or something? Or maybe burn them? But the truth was that God can do anything, even when the odds don't seem to be in our favor. In fact, God always works against the odds. God always overcomes the difficulties in our life that seem impossible. Another illustration of that is Elijah, when he went up against the prophets of Baal. There were 850 different prophets of Baal and prophets of the groves against one person. Talk about being outnumbered. That'd be quite intimidating to be surrounded by all these different people who hate you and hate your God and are just ready for you to fail and are ready for you to be killed by the government. But Elijah stood by faith. He stood up against those different false prophets because he knew that nothing was too hard for God. He knew that God could do anything. And do we believe that in our own lives? Do we believe that about VBS this week? Do we believe that about that family member that we've been doubting God about, that we haven't seen God work in? Do we believe that God can do anything? Asa believed that God could do anything, and he saw a great victory. The second lesson that we see in the life of Asa here is found in the next chapter, and a prophet of God comes to Asa after Asa has won this victory, and he challenges Asa to start a revival movement in his country. Starting in verse number 1 here, it says, "The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them." And then down in verse 7, "Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And this prophet reminded Asa that in the past, whenever Israel had struggled and had fallen into unbelief, whenever they turned to God, whenever they sought the Lord was always found. The Lord always delivered them. And that's the second lesson of faith, is that if you seek God, he will be found. And that's a principle we found all throughout God's word, that if you seek for the Lord, he will be found. If you knock, the door will be opened. God wants to be found of us. And this prophet challenges Asa to start a national revival, and that's exactly what Asa did. Starting in verse number 10, it says, "So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem." This is talking about the kingdom of Judah. "In the third month, and in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman." That's kind of an interesting way to bring about revival, is to just kill all the people who won't get revived. But I guess it worked for them. "And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets." And then it says in verse 15, "And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." And we can see the extent of this revival. The kingdom of Judah decided that they would seek the Lord, and anyone who did not would be put to death. And we can, you know, joke about this, but it just shows how serious they were about seeking the Lord. For them, it was either they would find the Lord and find revival, or else they would die. And they had a real heart to seek the Lord, and they didn't hold anything back. They sought the Lord with all their heart, and God brought them revival. And you can see the attitude they had there in verse 15. "All Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire." And even though they were called to live a holy life, a life that was pleasing to the Lord, they found joy in that. They found that there was joy in living for the Lord and for turning away from idols and turning away from the world. And they decided that they were going to seek the Lord. And this is one of the great revivals that came to the land of Judah. And it all started when a whole country got serious about revival. And, you know, even as a church, that this principle applies to us as well. You know, if as a church we seek the Lord with all our heart, if we decide that we are going to seek the Lord and put him first, and even to the point of death, with everything that we have, we're going to find the Lord. The Lord would also send revival here. So that second principle is of faith. If you seek God, he will be found of you. Let's see here. All right, and then skipping down through his life here, this was in the 15th year of his reign that all this happened. And then in the 6th and 30th year of his reign, so just 5 years before Asa's death, starting in chapter 16, Asa has another episode here in his life. And unfortunately, it's an episode where he displays unbelief, where he decides that he is not going to continue to believe in God. He decides that he is going to trust in man instead of God. And so we read in verse number 1 of chapter 16, "In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah." See, Baasha had a problem, and that was that his citizens from the northern kingdom were leaving his kingdom and going south to Judah because they saw that God was working. And they wanted to be in Judah, and they wanted to be around God's people. And it mentions that in chapter 15. And so the king of Israel decides that he's going to have to do something about that. And so he builds a border city to kind of keep his citizens from going down to Judah and keeping them up in Israel. And so it's kind of like he's attacking Judah in a way. And Asa responds in a sad way. He responds in unbelief. In verse number 2, "Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ihon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. And if you stopped reading there, it would seem like Asa's plan worked. He bribed the Syrians to attack Israel, and Israel was concerned about defending themselves, so they stopped building that city, Ramah, and then Asa was able to go and destroy that city before it became a nuisance to him. But the problem was, he didn't trust the Lord. He didn't turn to the Lord for deliverance, and he also bribed the king with gold that was dedicated to the Lord. He used holy gold that was consecrated to the Lord in a way that in an act of unbelief, and trusted in man for deliverance instead of God. And then in response, the Lord lovingly sent another prophet in verse number 7. It says, And at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. What an incredible statement there in verse 9, that God is looking throughout the whole world. He's never ceasing to try to find those whose heart is perfect towards him, because he wants to show himself strong on their behalf. And it's like he's trying to work in our lives, in the lives of people who are following him, but in a way, he can't, because they won't let him. In a way, he's hindered because of their unbelief. That reminds me of that verse in the Gospels where Jesus was not able to perform miracles in a city because of their unbelief. And so that third lesson of faith comes from verse 9 right there, and it's that God performs, and it seems to me that God performs a miracle every time man's faith allows him to. It's kind of worded in an interesting way, but the idea is that man limits God through their unbelief. See, God has chosen to work through us. God has chosen to work through his church and through limited human beings. And we have a choice. We have a choice to believe him and to allow him to work through us. Or we can choose to work for ourselves, to live for ourselves and respond in unbelief. And every time we choose unbelief, we limit what God can do. And here God is looking for ways to show himself strong. He wants to show himself strong. He wants to do miracles for his people. But because his people don't have the faith, because his people would rather do their own thing, he's limited in what he can do for us. What a sobering reminder from the life of Asa. And unfortunately, Asa continues down this path of unbelief. It says in verse number 10, Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Instead of responding in faith like Hezekiah did, if you remember, the prophet of God came to Hezekiah and told him that his days were numbered and he was going to die. And Hezekiah responded in faith and cried out to the Lord and humbled himself. And the prophet came back and told Hezekiah that he had more time to live, and God had heard his prayer. But instead of responding in faith like Hezekiah did, Asa decided to continue to respond in his flesh. And he actually had hatred towards this man. He wished that this voice of conviction would be over in his life. He didn't want to hear what God had to say. And so he ends up putting this man in prison. And it says in verse 12, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." So even at the end of his life, 2 years before he died, he was still not trusting in the Lord. He was still depending on the doctors and depending on man for help, when God was trying to get his attention. And God was bringing these different things in his life to try to wake him up and help him to realize that he needed to turn to the Lord. And so sadly, Asa's life ends on kind of a sour note, in a way of unbelief. He still didn't trust the Lord, even though he started out strong. And throughout this story, we see an important theme that keeps coming up, and that is the theme of faith, the theme of reliance. Whenever Asa relied on the Lord for deliverance, or when the people of Israel, of the southern kingdom of Israel and Judah, turned to the Lord, decided that they are going to rely on the Lord for deliverance, the Lord delivered every time. And when Asa decided that he was going to rely on man, rely on the king of Syria, rely on the physicians, it didn't turn out for him because he was relying on his own power. And the same truths apply to us today. Do we truly believe that nothing is too hard for God? Do we limit God by our faith? Do we really believe that God can add new families to this church? That God can save the lost that were mentioned tonight during prayer time? Maybe it's the second lesson of faith. If you seek God, he will be found of you. Are you seeking God? Or maybe have you given up seeking God in your life? That last lesson of faith was a great conviction to me, that God performs a miracle every time that we respond to him in faith. And just to realize that it's not God that limits what is accomplished in this church. It's us. It's our responsibility. In the equation where man interacts with God, it's never God's fault that something isn't accomplished. It's always our fault. So as we examine our faith and examine our dependence on the Lord, what are we trusting on? What are we relying on in the situations of life? Are we depending on God to bring fruit from VBS? Are we depending on the Lord to work in our community? Or are we relying on man? We could even rely on the program of VBS to reach kids. But it's not going to be the program of VBS. It's going to be the word of God that is spread through VBS that reaches kids. Is that what we're relying on? I was convicted this week during the missionary story time. We have been studying the Simonsons. And it's just been a great conviction to me. And they've been a great illustration of people who took steps of faith throughout their life. And they just kept taking steps of faith and steps of faith, and they've been faithful. And even though they have, you know, every right to leave the field if they wanted to, they have definitely served over there longer than most Christians. But they continue to be faithful. They continue to take steps of faith. And is that what we're doing in our life? Are we seeking the Lord? Are we relying on him? Are we examining our life? We don't want to be like Asa and halfway through our life stop resting on the Lord. Stop our dependence on Him. We need to continue throughout our life and throughout this week of Vacation Bible School to depend on the Lord for fruit. And we have the promises of God's Word that when we seek Him, He will be found and He will work. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word and for the simple truth, Lord, that when we respond to You, Lord, You respond to us. And we thank You for the example of Asa. And pray, Lord, that we would examine our own hearts, Lord, and that we wouldn't rely on ourselves or on anything else, Lord, other than You to accomplish what You want accomplished in our lives. And Lord, we pray especially for VBS, Lord, that we would believe You for fruit, we believe You for souls, and that You do a great work this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.